On Midwest Week, a final look at the just-completed season of the Quad City Mallards. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Bobby Metcalf, sports reporter for the Quad City Times. So on the ice, Bobby, how did the Mallards do during the regular season anyway?
It was a good season. Made the playoffs for the fifth straight year. Had some ups and downs, as you always kind of have, but finished with 40 wins, which most they've done in over a decade. Had an eight-game winning streak. A lot of positives. Ended with another first-round exit, but as a whole, I think they're still trending upwards.
What happened in the playoffs? They made the playoffs, but then they didn't stay very long.
Ran into a very, very good team in the Fort Wayne Comets, who also got knocked out the next round. But you know, they were very close to winning that series too. It was a five games, but you look at game one, they had a 2-goal lead that they couldn't sustain. And then game three they lost in overtime. Game four they won in overtime, and game five they lost by a goal. So it was a couple bounces here, a couple bounces there, could have been a different series. But the fact of the matter is, Fort Wayne was a very good team, very loaded up front, good goaltending, just kind of the wrong matchup for them.
Will many of the players return next season, do you think?
I think there's a good chance. There's going to be some players who are off their AHL contracts who are probably looking elsewhere. But you look at some of the core players like a Sam Warning or Michael Parks or a Justin Kovacs, they all like playing together. They all like playing for the new coach, Phil Axtell. I think in the years past, we've seen quite a few players not come back. I think there's a good chance that you might see some more players come back this year.
Okay, and that brings up the next point, of course. Midway through the season, the team fired coach Terry Ruskowski and promoted Phil Axtell. So what prompted the firing?
I think they just needed a change of voice. They got off to a good start under Ruskowski, and then they hit sort of a rough patch in January, lost 7 of 8. And I think players just kind of were having trouble responding. He's a very good coach. He's got a great pedigree, but he's also got an old school mentality. And I think when you're kind of in that little slump and things aren't going well, they just felt like they needed a change in voice and brought in Phil Axtell, who's one of the youngest coaches in the league. Very green, but proved himself this year and ended up working out. It was surprising what happened. I don't think anyone saw it happening, but it just was one of those things where they just felt they needed a change of voice. They thought they had a good team in the locker room. They didn't want to see that slide turn into one that they couldn't recover from.
We should remember that Terry Ruskowski has got a long history in minor league hockey and a very successful history, too.
Yeah, over about 700 wins, 2 championships. I mean, what he did here, it can't be understated. When you think about the fact that he came in when the Mallards were on the danger of folding, they didn't have a training camp his first year, didn't know when if they're going to have enough players for a game, didn't have sticks, any of this stuff. Comes in his first year and they make the playoffs. They made the playoffs every year under him. I believe that if he hadn't come in when he did, and they don't make the playoffs that first year, the Mallards may no longer be here. So it can't be understated what he did to try and save that organization. He didn't end with a championship here, but I think his legacy is pretty, pretty important.
Okay, so how did Phil Axtell do once he took over?
Really, very good. Like I said, they had the 8-game winning streak. That was pretty much right after they took over. You could just kind of tell that the team played a little looser. They were scoring about a goal more per game. I think he went 21. He had 21 wins since he took over, which is pretty impressive for a guy who had no head coaching experience.
Was in less than half the season.
Exactly. He's still got a lot of learning to do. There's so many nuanced things that you kind of don't realize as your assistant when becoming a head coach. But he did a good job. There was thought that when they made the coaching change that this could be the end. They could miss the playoffs, and who knows what happens. But they made the playoffs, had a good team, and like I said, just unfortunately ran into Fort Wayne.
So what was it that Phil did differently? I mean, you were covering the team all season. Did you see anything different? Did the players respond differently or better, or what happened?
He just let them kind of play. He didn't change up too much in what they did on the ice. It was more just that sort of younger voice that the players, a bunch of these 21, 22, 23-year-old kids could relate better to a 30-year-old better more than they could to a 60-year-old. He was very positive, didn't get on them too much, just kind of let them go and be relaxed. And you could tell they were more relaxed as after he took over, weren't gripping the sticks as tight, were scoring more. And the locker room just kind of felt a little easier, a little less pressure. And I think that was a big thing. It'll be interesting to see how he does next year, because now he'll have all year that same voice, and there won't be that sort of shock to the system that that sort of got the Mallards out of their slump.
And did the fans turn out for the Mallards games this year?
For the most part, they instituted something beginning of the year that was a little surprising. The attendance cap, they closed the curtains for almost all the games, so that capped the attendance at 5,100. You saw a bit of a drop-off in season-long attendance. I think it was about 400 fans a game that they lost. I'm not sure what the attributes to. I think if they keep trending upwards, best season they've had in over a decade, so the fans should start turning out more. I don't know if it was because of the capacity cap or what, but something, you know, they went down a little bit, but not drastically.
Now, in years gone by, there have been other minor league team owners in this area that have said that it really wasn't all that important whether their teams won or lost. It was whether the fans had a good time. Is that not true in minor league hockey, or is there some sort of balance between having fun and winning?
I'd say it's a balance, especially here. I mean, Jordan Melville, the Mallards owner, Bob McNamara, the team president, they recognize the history of this team, what they did in the 90s and early 2000s, and realize that this fan base wants to win. This is not just the Mallards fan base is not just, oh, let's go catch a Mallards game, who cares what the score is. They want to go, they want to see the team win, they want to see championships. So they know they have to appeal to that dedicated fan base. At the same time, they are doing what every minor league organization is dealing with and trying to get some new fans. And they're trying to upgrade the entertainment value so that they can get families and young kids and people in their early 20s to come and enjoy themselves and want to come back. They're trying to build a new fan base while not alienating that old one, which is a hard balance to do, especially in this market.
That's right. You've got the season ticket holders that have been around for 20-some years, and then you've got people that don't know what hockey is except that it's on ice and it's kind of fast sometimes.
Exactly. You're trying to get some new season ticket holders, some new fans, but you're trying not to alienate that old base that is used to, you know, the Carey Toporowskis, the Gary Goulashes, the old UHL style of play where this team was winning 50 games every single year, and that's hard to do.
Now, one of the key things that happened at the end of the season was extending the lease. Is that sort of a major decision for the team and for its future here?
Well, I mean, it's big in that they have a building to play in next year. It's just the 1 year, and I think there's just some, especially with the iWireless Center's naming rights being kind of uncertain, I think they wanted to just have it there for the 1 year so that if the iWireless Center changes sponsors, that they don't have to go through another, you know, that they don't have to deal with anything extra. They can just sign another lease next year.
Okay. So we shouldn't take it as a bad sign that's just a 1 year.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's every year is kind of a year-to-year basis. They'll probably reevaluate and see how this next season goes, but everything I've heard is that they want to be here. They're confident in being here. The team, Bob McNamara, has built a house here. It seems like they're very committed to staying here in the long haul. But again, it's minor league hockey, and it's an ever-changing landscape. Two ECHL teams ceased operations this year, mm-hmm. including Alaska, which has been one of the most successful franchises in the league. So it's never a given that that any minor league team will be around for the long haul, but everything that the Mallards are doing seems to point that they want to be here for a while.
Okay, and one last thing, Bobby. Just in general terms, the schedule for the coming months, signing players, training camp, new season, et cetera?
Well, we got the season schedule a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. We know that the season will open October 13th at home against the Toledo Walleye, who are still in the playoffs right now. From then, but before that, it's kind of a lot of trickle-out information. They have to release their list of protected players that they keep the rights to on June 1st. And then after that, it's kind of they can sort of sign as at will. Training camp will probably open about 2 weeks before the season. So a lot of sort of holding patterns here and now until October. But we do know when the season will start, on October 13th at the iWireless Center.